to know that we are there in the fellowship with Him, caught up together in heavenly places. And we're going to discuss tonight here on WWRB 3.185 here on a Monday evening, a little bit after 9 Eastern Standard Time, 8 Central, wherever that you are in the time zone, as we reach around the world on the powerful, magnanimous, and most magnificent of the flagship stations on the southern horizon, WWRB. Glad to be in here with you tonight and live and direct right out of Central Tennessee. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's the 29th day of December. As I said, Monday, December the 29th. Let's get down into some of the aspects of the host. The host of heaven means, as we look at the Bible in Genesis, and God saw everything that He had made. And behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's something missing in this element of Genesis chapter 1 through 31 and through chapter 2 and verse 1. There is an interlude here in these scriptures that doesn't really address the host. Did you know that the Bible said when the heavens were created that the host shouted for joy? Well, that means before the earth, before the heavens, and by the way, the heavens are not as you see them in the natural. These things are temporal. Now, why that the Creator designed a universe of space, vast space, if you will, it takes light traveling at 186,000 miles per second. It takes literally hundreds of light years for light to travel from one part of the galaxy to the other part. And then there's billions of galaxies in the universe. And it's just almost beyond comprehension of how vast and how marvelous that the heavens are and the host that commands them. The Bible said that when the heavens were created, the sons of God shouted for joy. That's in Job chapter 1. Well, if the angels, the host that we're going to particularly speak about, if they shouted for joy, then there must be some type of intelligence or some type of plan that Yahweh has got for His sons and daughters. Now, the Bible says, very distinctively, and this is almost beyond comprehension also, that the hairs on your head are numbered. Well, if that's true, ladies and gentlemen, there must be an angel, or a host of them for that matter, surrounding you to count and number your footsteps. And the Bible says a man's footsteps are ordered of Yahweh, and that's well and good. So then the host is more visible in your life than you would imagine, because the Bible says that Yahweh daily loads you with the benefits of the host. Well, by being partakers of the heavenly calling, the host, being purposed, being predestinated, and being watched over by the angels, if you are His, you are precious in His sight. Did you know the Bible said, and we look at death as strange and foreign and alien, because the carnal man can't get used to the fact that we got to die. And yet we do. And yet the Bible says He's not the God of the dead. So what are we going to do in this case? Well, we're going to surrender our life to the host. And we're going to keep the second commandment. Let me talk to you a little bit about the people that were created upon the earth. As they begin to worship the host of heaven, breaking therefore the second commandment, which the Bible says that you should not worship the likeness of any beast. Oh my. Well, did you know that there's a lot of people worshiping the likeness of a beast today? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I never seen nobody worshiping beasts. Are you talking about worshiping cattle? No, I'm talking about the beast of the field that was designed to walk upright as doeth Adam. And this beast of the field has hands. The Bible says he does. And the Bible says, thou shalt not worship the likeness of any beast that is upon the earth. Well, you shouldn't also worship the likeness of any winged fowl. Did you know that sportsmen, and actually our national bird, the eagle, which is a scavenger, and that he is symbolized as the great eagle, and in his talons, in his claws, clutched are 13 arrows that are in his, clutched in his claws. You know, sometimes we get carried away to worship the creature and the likeness of the host of heaven more than we worship the Creator. And therefore, the Bible says that there is a thin line for the worship of these objects, inanimate as they are, and unreal as they are, whether they be a live bird, or the likeness of the winged fowl that flieth in the air, or the likeness of anything that creepeth upon the ground, the likeness of any fish. Did you know that some men spend a lifetime fishing, and Peter was one of those, and Yahweh chose him to get out of the boat and to cast his net on the right side and called him to be fishermen of men. And yet, just as soon, now we know that Peter, James, and John, who were all fishermen, by the way, and no doubt they worshipped their job of fishing. But as soon as the Messiah died and they thought he was gone, they had no hope of him ever returning again, they went right back to fishing. And the Messiah, risen from the dead, appeared to them as they had fished all night and caught nothing, told them to cast their net on the right side, and they let down their net, and they pulled up 153 fishes. Now, we could go into that aspect and show you what the numerology of that aspect is, but we won't tonight for the sake of our time, as we dwell on the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And least thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, and you should be driven to worship them and to serve them, which Yahweh hath divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven, which is written in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Now, let's look again at the aspect of sun worship. Did you know that Sunday is the greatest day that is noted in the calendar of time that has been given to man, that We're not talking about the S-O-N day. We're talking about the S-U-N day. It is one of the hosts of heaven that man is given to worship, and within that of time frame, and within that object of worship, man has been given up to worship the sun and the moon and the stars and all the host of heaven, and it is a violation of the second commandment, thou shalt have no idols or other gods or any of the host of heaven before me. The second commandment. The first commandment is Mark 12:29. Thou shalt love Yahweh with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. You know about Hezekiah in the Bible? Hezekiah was a great man. He was an humble man. And yet, he was so proud of the object that he had built. He had built the palace and the temple, and he was in charge of the treasures, the national treasures of Israel, great mounds of gold and silver. In other words, the bullion of his treasury house was bulging, and the shields of pure gold and silver, and the vessels of Yahweh became an inanimate object of worship by Hezekiah. And you know what he done? The first thing he done, ladies and gentlemen, he invited the stranger in to observe or to gaze upon the treasures of Yahweh. The eyes of the stranger came face to face with the precious things of Yahweh. And it was against Yahweh's policy. And so, therefore, Yahweh was angered at this great man, Hezekiah. And did you know that just as soon as Yahweh found out that Hezekiah had let the eye of the stranger look upon the things that were not supposed to be looked upon, and the eye of the stranger defile the temple of Yahweh, and the footsteps of the heathen came marching into the temple, the Bible says that Yahweh commanded Hezekiah to set his house in order. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for you to set your house in order. It's time for you to give up all of your pagan idols and your worship of these inanimate objects of your desire and turn to the Creator and away from the creaturous habits of man as he boasts in his pride to style and profile and worship things of the likeness of the beast that is upon the earth and the likeness of the winged fowl that flieth in the air and the likeness of anything that creepeth upon the ground, the likeness of fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and least that thou should lift thine eyes into heaven and seest the sun and the moon and the stars and all the host of heaven, and you should be driven to worship them, take heed that you depart not from the power of the living Creator. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that death is a sure thing, and it's a promise to everyone. But he being a God of the living and not a God of the dead, you have got a hope. Hezekiah had a hope. But did you know what he done? He traded his hope for the pleasure of showmanship as he was to display the power and the honor and the beauty and the holiness of Yahweh before the eyes of the heathen. Did you know Yahweh doesn't want to be styled and profiled and profaned among the heathen? Did you know that the Bible says that there are some beast in the earth, natural brute beast, that are made to be taken and destroyed in the fire? And there are some people that this gospel is hid from, and Yahweh has commanded them not to be exposed to His doctrine or His holiness, and therefore men to make a fair show in the flesh or to build a big organization and stain the windows and hide their covetous practices as they lure the unsuspecting souls into their trap to worship the creature or the host of heaven rather than worship in Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a generation that shall not walk upon the straight and the narrow way. For Yahweh chose the clean way, and no unclean thing, be it anything in the heavens, the host of the heavens, they shall not walk upon the straight and the narrow gate way to righteousness. Hezekiah, he built the high places, and the Bible says that he was commanded to be called in on the carpet, and when Isaiah, the prophet, came to give him the bad news. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of people just down the road that are going to get some bad news. And this bad news is that the Bible says you shall give an account even for every idle word that you speak. You shall give an account to Yahweh for your evil deeds, your hard speeches, your uncircumcised tongue as you speak evil of the righteous, and your traditional ways that you will not give up, your paganistic ways. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just come through one of the most hellacious paganistic times of the year, and that is the winter solstice. That's when the worship of the sun, as it dies on December the 21st, on the winter solstice circuit, and those who were given up to worship the host of heaven and the sun, ladies and gentlemen, they waited for the resurrection of the S-U-N, not the S-O-N, and so then the pagan whore church inserted the S-O-N worship into the S-U-N place of worship on December the 25th and turned it into one of the most paganistic and despicable holidays, as did Hezekiah and Hezekiah's sons. For he built the high places again, and that had been broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and he made groves and worshiped all the hosts of heaven, and he served them. Also he built altars in the house of Yahweh, and therefore Yahweh said in Jerusalem, shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of Yahweh. And that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Ladies and gentlemen, we have carried on the paganistic, heathenistic ways of Hezekiah and his sons as they have erred from the truth, been given up to worship the host of heaven, and therefore turned over to a reprobated mind to believe a lie and be damned. Let's go now to Isaiah chapter 37, the one that brought Hezekiah the bad news. Hezekiah, you're going to have to answer to Yahweh. And the Bible says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall after the man of Yahweh pronounced upon him a death sentence. And he prayed, and he wept, and he repented. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, there's hope for America to give up these vile affections and paganistic ways. There's hope for America to return back to Yahweh. If my people, which are called by my name, if they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their iniquities and their sins. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for America to repent of the worshiping of the host of heaven and the worshiping of pagan gods and pagan lords. Listen to me. In the book of Nehemiah, thou, Yahweh, art Yahweh alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and with them all the host, the earth and all the things that are therein, the sea and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you're not to worship the host, because all of the host of heaven worship is Yahweh. And the Bible says, Yahweh is a spirit, John 4:24. And you should worship him in spirit and in truth. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn back, O Yahweh of hosts, O God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims. Ladies and gentlemen, thou art God alone, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, for thou hast made heaven and earth. Isaiah chapter 37, verses 16. Ladies and gentlemen, and suddenly there was an angel and a multitude. Now listen to this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 in the King James Bible, and suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Did you know that the host can appear at any moment? Did you know that men and women that are volunteering today to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge, that are waiting to mount up on the wings of an eagle, and that their faith has soared into the heavens, not as some worshiping bird of feathers, not as some inanimate object of attention to their worship addiction. Did you know that people are literally addicted to paganism, and they can't give up worshiping the host of heaven? They can't give up Santa Claus, let alone worshiping the host of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, Santa Claus is becoming an adorable creature. He's not a creator. He's not a saint. Saint Nicholas is an illusion of inanimate object worship, where that they turn their affections to the carnal side, trying to gain favor with one another as they send presents one to another, and therefore Yahweh has given them up to worship the host of heaven. Now listen to this. Some of the New Testament, it talks about the host of heaven. Both the stars and the angels. It leaves open the possibility that the Israelites just didn't commit idolatry by worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars, but they also became involved in the worshiping of angels. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, the people worshiped those who themselves worshiped God, our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. So the host, the commanding angels, did you know that each time that the angels appeared to man, and when man fell at his feet to worship him, because he was struck with the beauty and the awe and the power and the glory and the honor that has been given to angels, because the Bible said that they are created just a little bit higher than man. So it's natural for us to be taken and smitten and slayed in the presence of these wonderful beings who command the host of heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said whether we or an angel sent from heaven preach any other gospel than that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed. The commandments is to hear Yahweh and to worship him in spirit and truth and to cast your care upon him as the Creator, as opposed to trusting in the creature comforts, ladies and gentlemen, that the paganistic ways. You see, it seems good for us to go around and get the Christmas spirit and to share and to give. But did you know that charity is not recognized in the Bible as one given? Ladies and gentlemen, you can give all of your goods to feed the poor. Charitable giving will profit you nothing. You must give that which God commands. He commands your inward obedience to His commandment. Now the Bible says this, now listen to me well, as we get into angel worship and worship in the host of heaven, which is forbidden. The Bible says that the whole duty of man is to fear Yahweh and to keep His commandments. Whosoever says that he loves Yahweh and will not keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. Do not, and I repeat, do not learn the ways of the heathen. That's what Yahweh commanded us to do. He commanded us to love Him and to worship Him and to adore Him and to call upon Him while He can be found. For the day comes, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how many good deeds you've done, how many presents you've passed around, if you don't have it below the collarbone, if you haven't been smitten and captured by the magnetism of the Creator rather than the creatures, or the host of heaven, whether it be intruding into angel worship, perverting the ways of the righteous. Ladies and gentlemen, the command is, they that say they love Yahweh and will not keep His commandments, they are liars and there is no truth in them. Angels are given to be subject to ministering spirits, and they are often referred to as the host of heaven or the heavenly host. And Yahweh Himself is the commander of this mighty host. He says to them, go. And they go. He tells them to come. And they come. He commands them to speak to us and to direct us. But ladies and gentlemen, there is angels who are sent from the presence of Almighty Yahweh to try us. And I'm talking about angels in the physical form. those who would persuade you. Oh, it's, Pastor Buddy, it really isn't wrong to do all these things. This is just for the children. Or, Pastor Buddy, I'm not really worshiping the sun. I've just got a calendar that goes by the sun. I'm a solar worshiper of the sun. Ladies and gentlemen, you better turn from your wicked ways. And you better remember that whether we or an angel, did you know that in the days of Micaiah, that the Bible said that there was a time when the kings of Israel were going to war, and all of the prophets throughout the land were summoned before the great majesty and his court, and the kings of Israel and Judah demanded of the prophets whether it was the will of God to go up and face the enemy and win the battle. And did you know that 99.9% of all of those prophets said unto the king to favor his ear? Because Israel at that time had a mighty army, and they had been victorious, and they were proud, and they wanted to display their prowess and their power and their carnal majesty. You know, some people trust in chariots, and some people trust in horses, and some people trust in swords. But the Messiah said, "My kingdom is not of this world. And if it was, my servants would fight." You know what Yahweh wants out of you? He wants an obedient heart and an obeying spirit that will give up the temptation to go as the world goes, to do as the world does, to say as the world say, and to think as the world thinks. He wants you to go against the grain of tradition. He wants you to turn from your wicked ways, although they seem right, seem good. You know, maybe, as the old saying goes, 40 million Frenchmen can't be wrong. But in truth, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the crowd or the majority that's right all of the time. Although in a democracy, we vote and mob rule wins. But ladies and gentlemen, the counsel of Yahweh will stand forever. And the Bible says, after the king got the counsel of all of the prophets in Israel, every one of them, except one. Every one of the prophets prophesied that they should go up and that they would be victorious and that they would bring about this mighty host, this army that had been formulated of the physical, that they would go up and defeat the enemy thereof. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said there was one lone prophet in the land of Israel. And you know where he was at? At that time, he was in jail. Oh, my. Just like Paul and Silas, locked up in the prison and made fast until the earthquake, until trouble came, until the angels shook the earth so violently that it actually literally shook open the doors of the prison. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a shaking in this land. And there's a shaking a-coming, a time of trouble such as this world has never seen. And this time is nigh upon us. Go get Micaiah out of the old prison yard, down in the dungeon, down in the hole, been on a diet of bread and water, no pleasant food. He didn't sit at the king's table as the honored priest. He was down in the dirty dungeon, laying deep in the hole, in solitary confinement, where he couldn't even as much as see the light of day. His garments were soiled and tattered. He was abused. No doubt he was tortured by the kings because he wouldn't adopt the politically correct line of thinking. And he was drugged, probably reluctantly, before the two mightiest men in Israel, the king, the royal house of Israel, the mighty kings that were going up to war, irregardless of what was said. And they heard his counsel. And they said, Micaiah, we are going up to war against the enemy. What sayest thou? Shall we come back in victory? Or do you have, as usual, your evil report? And the Bible said that Micaiah said, you shall go up indeed to war, but you shall not come back in victory. You know why? Because they trusted in chariots. They trusted in horses. They trusted in the sword, and they trusted in the host of man. Ladies and gentlemen, they that put confidence in the flesh are bound to be disappointed. And the old king, who had got nothing over the years from Micaiah but an evil report, he said, see what I told you? Do you see what I told you before you drug him out of the prison and brought him down here, what he would say? You see, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes it takes a lot of saying by the prophets that are often rejected, often despised. Their words are not heard and cast to the ground as the world prospers on the illogical advice of the devil. For the devil is for a moment. His lie is for a moment. But truth is forever. And ladies and gentlemen, they took old Micaiah back to the hole, back to the prison. They drug his wretched, sore, and hurting body. No doubt, the warden of the prison, as vicious and evil and perverted as he was. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when man rules over you and he abuses you, he gets a sadistic satisfaction. No doubt that the warden of the prison was embarrassed by the strong words and the anti-counsel that Micaiah gave the kings. And no doubt he whipped him with a cat of nine tails. No doubt he beat him severely for the truth. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you'll suffer for the truth. But the Bible says, they that will suffer with me will judge the host of heaven. What? Know you not that you are saints judging even the angels who desire to look into the power and the faith and the promise that Yahweh has laid up for them that will suffer now to reign with Him later. Oh, Micaiah took the whipping, and he lived to see Israel come back in humiliated defeat and the kings licking their own wounds as a national disgrace. Only one prophet gave the righteous word to the host of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you have to stand against even your friends and your neighbors and those who seem right, because sometimes the truth is not popular. Sometimes the truth falls on deaf ears. And the Bible says that man in his ways is made upright, but he sought out many wicked inventions, and he loves a lie more than he loves the truth. Have you repented of your sins? Do you know that the Bible says for you to turn from your wicked ways? Did you know that the Bible teaches you that there's something that you must do to gain entrance into the host of heaven? If you're going to be a judge of the host, you must be judged worthy. And the Bible says if you love Him, you can keep His commandments. And His commandments is not grievous. And let me give you the first one. The Bible said in Matthew 28:19, He said, go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them. Now this is the nations of Israel, the lost sheep. That is a bad translation in the Hebrew or in the Greek. However, Yahweh was telling them to go to the nations of Israel. Go to the 12 or the 13 descending tribes of the house of Jacob. And the Bible said, He said for them to teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father. Now my question to you tonight, listen ladies and gentlemen, as this is the most important part of separating yourself from the host of heaven, whether it be good or bad, because you yourself are going to be judging the angels and the host thereof. It says to baptize in the name of the Father. Now question, what is the Father's name? Have you ever seriously considered what His name is? If you pass up Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, you're passing up the greatest opportunity to become a part of the great host of the straight and narrow path, and the few there be that find it, the righteous ones that find out what His name is. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 4, if I am a father and a creator, what is my name? And what is my son's name? If you can tell. That's a challenge to you. Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 4. Read it for yourself. What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you can tell? The challenge to you in Matthew 28:19 is to figure out what the Father's name is. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it shouldn't be too hard. 6,823 times alone in the old parchment, written in the Hebrew language, is the name Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, transliterated into the sound of Yahweh, given to the precious few and those who will come up out of the prison of the imagination of their own minds. You must escape and break the shackles and bonds of tradition, because the Bible says full well you keep your own tradition and break the commandment of Yahweh. John chapter 5, verse 43. The Son said, what's the Father's name, if you can tell? Well, ladies and gentlemen, 6,823 times Micaiah, which means is, Yah is my mighty one. That's what the name of that prophet that they had drugged down there and mistreated and beat and abused and would not hear his word because he was a prophet of Yahweh. You can be a prophet of your own thoughts. You can be a prophet of your vain imagination. You can become foolish and the world will listen to you. You can deny the name of Yahweh, and the church world will let you build a large place to fill up the temples to worship the host of heaven, and therefore Yahweh will give you up to a reprobated mind to believe a lie and be damned. From such turn away. Come out of her, my people, and touch not this unclean worship of the host of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, the army of Yahweh is usually an invisible army. Israel had a standing army. They were mighty. They had been victorious, and they had won battle after battle until they went against the man of Yahweh. Micaiah said unto them, "Thou must not go up into this battle. Thou must not lean to the arm of flesh. Thou must not seek out the counsel of the ungodly. For the Bible said, blessed is he that standeth not in the counsel of the ungodly." Sometimes, if you're the only one right, it's easy to change over just to go along and ride the bus to hell with a crowd. But Micaiah would rather went back to the hole and faced the unjust prison warden, knowing that he would have been beaten with many stripes. No doubt his back was raw and hadn't healed by the time his prophecy had come to pass. Israel came limping back. They lost thousands upon thousands of wonderful men. Did you know that the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And therefore, since you reject knowledge, there's people that have a few scriptures that seem right, and they override the thousands of scriptures that are right just to keep their same right scriptures, and they'll separate themselves from the commonwealth of the name of Yahweh, be turned into a fable, a form and a fashion, a tinkling cymbal, and a trumpet that has no certain sound. Ladies and gentlemen, just the breath you breathe, just the breathing in the great name of Yah, just exhaling this name, Yahweh, what a mighty Yahweh, sir. Even your breath displays the integrity and the truth of the host of heaven. As Yahweh has designed you and purposed you to breathe in the oxygen and to inhale and exhale the great and the magnificent and the magnanimous, the all-glorious and all-powerful name of Yahweh, which is a strong tower, according to Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Micaiah would have rather laid in a hole with a beaten back, with a stripped of raiment, dishonored and disfellowshipped by the host of Israel, and wait on the promises of Yahweh. The Bible said, they that will suffer with him will reign with him. Let the devil talk about you. Let him cast your name out as evil. Let him speak all manner of evil against you, for so did they about the prophets of old. And the Bible says they will hate you. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 22, they shall hate you for my name's sake. Ladies and gentlemen, right this moment, wherever Yahweh resides, and we know he's in a flesh body with nail scars in his hand, and we know that there is a host of angels that dwell around him. Let's go to the Psalms 148 and verse 2. God's angels surround his throne, serving and worshiping him continuously. The scripture commands them, as it is written, "Praise ye him, all you angels. Praise him, all his host." And the prophet Micaiah said, "I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne, woo, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left." In 1 Kings in chapter 22, verse 19, "This awesome sight that O Micaiah had seen down in the hole. Ladies and gentlemen, it may not be what you want. It may not be what you want to hear, but it's what you need. And that's the old-fashioned truth of the gospel spoken from the lips of clay. You know, the Bible says that Yahweh will not, and I mean will not, reveal anything to the people except He first reveal it to these prophets that He's called and chosen and qualified and dedicated and sent. And when they come, they will come preaching in this magnanimous and most powerful name, the repentance message of repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahweh, for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and unto the angels that are given charge over you to watch you in the way, to keep you. And if you dash your foot against a stone, and if you stagger at the promises of Yahweh, there's always an angel to lift you up and encourage you. It might be in the form of a person, because the Bible said, be not forgetful to entertain them. I've had them to cross almost continents. I've had them to fly in on the wings of the jets and give me a counsel, a sweet word, an encouraging word. Ladies and gentlemen, I pass this on to my brothers and sisters. Keep the faith. Don't deny His name. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. And walk with Yahweh as did Adam and Eve, according to Genesis 3 and 8. Walk with Yahweh as did Abraham in Genesis 18. Ladies and gentlemen, Gideon, although he had to hide, entertained an angel in Judges chapter 6. Jacob wrestled with an angel in Genesis 28. Moses talked and communed to Yahweh face to face in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. The nation of Israel heard the voice of the angel that Yahweh sent to deliver them and to go before them and pardon their sins. And the Bible said, beware, for in the last days that Yahweh Himself shall come in a flesh body and stand upon the earth. Hearken unto His voice and obey Him, for the name of the Father is in Him. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, Zechariah says that we are to change our garments as did Yahshua, when he was brought before the throne of Yahweh, they gave him a clean change of garment. Oh, Micaiah got a clean change when he departed this world. He didn't receive anything from the king except a beating and punishment. And you won't receive anything in this world but tribulation. But ladies and gentlemen, be faithful unto death, and Yahweh will give you a crown of life. Ladies and gentlemen, my time is coming on here tonight, and you've got my message tonight of the command of the host of heaven. Remember that you should not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If you sow to the flesh, if you lean to the flesh, as did the kings of Israel when they trusted in their mighty army. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you gather up a big army, you want to go to fight. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the fighting and killing and flesh and blood is not about the kingdom. If you could enter into the kingdom, then flesh and blood would be a possessor. But the Bible says, and it warned Adam, who walked with Yahweh, after he hid from him, Adam began to see the plan. And he said, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So then, ladies and gentlemen, this is not going to be a flesh and blood kingdom as you've dreamed and been enamored and overcome by the promises of these wicked prophets that prophesied in the days of Micaiah. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Watch the host of heaven. Lean not to your own understanding, but trust in Yahweh. Do not trust in horses. Do not trust in the arm of flesh, but trust in the mighty Spirit of Yahweh. For he said, not by power or by might, but by my Spirit, saith Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on 3.185 Clear Channel around the world tonight on WWRB, right out of the great state of Tennessee. If you'd like to call me at area code 423-626-2172. Give me a radio check and let me know how the broadcast is coming. If you'd like to write me tonight, you can simply sit down, address your cards and letters to Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284 in New Tazewell, Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to get off here. My time is coming on. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR on the transmitting Joel LaSalle. I'll see you next Monday night live right here on WWRB. Until then, may Yahweh take a blessing to you, and may you worship Yahweh.
Over here.